When you first split up and you've been in a heavy trauma bond, you're going to do everything that parent wants you to do with that household. And how do I know that? That was me. All right. In today's episode, I'm going to share a couple personal stories about my transition from co-parenting to parallel parenting. And when I say transition, it was about 8 years it took me to figure out exactly what parallel was. So I'm going to speed that along for you in today's episode and talk about parallel parenting, high conflict custody, and what that really means, that they're requesting us to co-parent with somebody that just does not like us, and how that shared decision-making of having to work together on joint decision leads us down a path of co-parenting that doesn't fit us because we're dealing with a narcissist or high conflict personality person. And so these clauses that are in our parenting plan about joint are forcing co-parenting when really the only thing and way to survive is parallel parenting. All right, a common theme when discussing co-parenting and high conflict is the phrase parallel parenting. And a lot of people have only heard of co-parenting. And when you say parallel, the first question is, what is that? And essentially, we're going to talk about it in a way of exact examples today. And we're going to break down why parallel is a better fit versus co-parenting, especially somebody that's having to deal with a high conflict co-parent. Now, what is a high conflict co-parent? Somebody that hates you, somebody that's making your life miserable, somebody that goes against everything that you do, somebody that talks bad about you, somebody that is late on purpose, that tries to destroy the relationship you have with your children, somebody that doesn't follow the rules, somebody that doesn't listen to the parenting plan obligations or responsibilities. Have I touched on who your ex is yet? That is when we have to shift over to parallel. So co-parenting is for these judges and lawyers who think that somebody that went to court as a husband and wife and a couple and wanted to end their marriage, and they fought like cat and dog, and they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they couldn't come to one conclusion, and they had to have the judge determine everything, are somehow going to co-parent. And co-parent means that we will be flexible with each other. We will communicate with each other. We will share the children and share ideas about the children with each other. Co-parenting is where we over-talk and we overshare, and it's reciprocated. We ask for flexibility. Hey, my mom came into town unexpectedly. Can I have the kids a little bit extra? Sure, no problem. I'll get my time back sometime next month. Don't worry about it. And it's this blissful freaking union of co-parenting between two people that are respecting each other, appreciate each other, value each other, and still care about one another to a certain degree that they would never run interference between that parent and that child. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you probably don't have that scenario. And so you've been told and pushed and prodded and made to feel guilty that you aren't co-parenting. Well, I'm not going to co-parent with the devil. I'm not going to co-parent with someone that doesn't want me breathing air. It's very hard to co-parent and be open and transparent about, hey, you know, I've noticed a little change in little Stephanie, and I feel like maybe she's going through something. You know, maybe we should meet up for coffee and talk about it, and we'll see what's going on in your house, see what's going on in my house. Maybe there's just something real small that we can both move or adjust, and maybe Stephanie will go back to the way she was, or we can change it or fix it for her. That sounds great. In an ideal co-parenting situation, if I were to have gone to my ex and said, hey, little Stephanie's having a problem at my house, it would have been front page fucking news at the courthouse by the next day, and a motion would have been filed for all of my custody to be taken away because one of our children were going through something. High conflict people take every opportunity to take any of your communication and use it against you. So the idea of co-parenting with a high conflict person is absurd. And the court systems and the lawyers are so far behind this concept. And when you get overeducated, like listening to this podcast or following people on social media or other podcasts and books, and you learn about parallel, you're like, oh my God, this is fucking genius. This is what I will need. And when you bring that to your court case, you get labeled as high conflict, that you don't want to work with the other party, that you think the other party needs controlling, or that you're trying to control them. No, that's not the case. I'm trying to put a boundary up here that we are not going to work together. And guess what the other side of that is? Your kids will be fine by doing parallel. They will be fine. I know everybody's like, yeah, but your kids need you to communicate. Have you seen us communicate? I'm telling you right now, our kids don't need that shit. They don't want that. They don't want us communicating. Literally, there was this point in time where I used to always walk up to my ex-husband at sporting events, and so our kids could all be together with us and they wouldn't have to pick who they walked up to first. I was such an amateur back then. And I would walk up, you know, to their little circle of everything, and my kids would look at me like, what the fuck are you doing coming up to us here? And I'm like, this is co-parenting. Like, we're going to stand here together and we're all going to talk. And my kids were like, get out of here. I don't want you talking. Every time you walk up and talk, he changes his mood, his attitude, the look on his face. And then we got to listen about why you walked up to the circle and why you couldn't just give him space and why you can't just stay away from him. My kids were like, no, we don't want you fucking talking because it makes him feel a certain way. And then we get punished for it. And I think that needs to be an eye opener for some of y'all listening. That's how your kids feel. So apply that knowledge that maybe I don't walk up during social events and I let my kids walk over to me. And they actually feel more comfortable doing that because on that walk over, they get to switch a flip and go, okay, now we're walking over to mom. Whew. And I don't have to have my guard up with both of them standing within 2 feet of each other because I don't know what's going to happen, right? That's crazy for kids. But this concept, let's go back a little bit. This concept of the court system and lawyers thinking that I could call my ex-husband and say, hey, something came up. Turns out my sister, who hasn't been in town in 12 years, is swinging through, but it seems like it's your weekend. Can I swap you weekends? If lawyers and judges truly think a high conflict person is going to be a yes on that one, wake up. That's a no before I even picked up the phone. There's no flexibility here. But mark my words, if his mother retires, who the kids see every other weekend, I better switch him weekends. I better jump on switching him weekends so my kids can go to her retirement party because they're really close with her. It is chaos in trying to co-parent with a high conflict person. But the court systems force this when they give us joint, right? And they don't make any decisions for us. We talked about earlier episodes how we have to go ahead and make all those decisions so that we don't have to be stuck co-parenting with these people. But the court system is assuming cooperation. That's not happening. We are not going to be cooperating. What ends up happening 9 times out of 10 is that a high conflict parent ends up controlling how everything goes because they don't stop, won't stop. And they end up controlling every scenario, putting their spin on absolutely everything. There's no co-parenting going on. There's control going on. There's vetoing things going on. It is not co-parenting. But if we say parallel, then we're fucked. Then we're the asshole because we want to have a boundary or, God forbid, we do our own thing at our own house. So let's dive in real quick. Let's talk about this. What is parallel parenting? Now, I tried to co-parent for the first 8 to 10 years of my journey. My journey's over. My kids are grown. They're part of my business. I get a lot of feedback from them and their peers who also have divorced mom and dad's parents. The thing with parallel is it's where my kids excelled. When I was trying to co-parent, my kids were a nervous wreck, anxiety ridden. What the hell's going on? Why are you so nice to him? Why are you engaging so much with him? This is uncomfortable. Every time you engage, we get an explosive behavior afterwards. Please stop engaging. And I was over here like, everything's great. Look at me co-parent. I'm not the problem. Look at me. I'm sharing information. And information gets used back against me. I'm telling him things. And then that gets thrown back against me. I could not figure out why he didn't want to co-parent with me and share back or say thank you or wow, that's valuable information. Thanks for letting me know. I'll apply that knowledge at my house. I mean, when I got divorced, you guys, my kids were 1 and 3. They were diapers. So there was a lot like, hey, this is what I figured out with potty training. Hey, here's a new food they may like. Hey, this, hey, that. Nothing. Nothing. And I'm thinking the only option here is co-parenting. Co-parenting, co-parenting. No. No. Switch into parallel as fast as you can. So let's dive into it. What is parallel? Parallel is essentially my house, my rules, my policy, my design. Their house, their rules, their policy, their design by their house. And we don't overlap. We don't talk. We don't exchange. We don't share tidbits about each other's homes. We literally just live a parallel life. Kids go from household to household, applying different rules and concepts from each home when they're in that home. Some examples, bedtimes. When I get people wanting to build their parenting plan with my team, one of the first questions is, can I put a bedtime in? No, I can't force the other parent to abide by a bedtime Not to mention that won't grow with the child unless we're doing like, what's the bedtime? Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And we're not going to do that. So to me, parallel is something you really have to figure out, that you got to be okay with running your household a specific way and understanding that children will be okay switching gears and living a different way at the other home. Now, some kids adjust very easily that these are the rules here and these are the rules here. Or this is how we eat here. I have one household that I'm close with that I know is a vegan household, but when the child goes to the other house, they have meat. And so that child just adjusts that she knows she gets to eat meat over here and she knows she does not eat meat over here. She does if they go out and it's available, but it's not in the home. The bedtimes is a big one. Bath routines is a big one. Morning routines. One household does the whole kit and caboodle, pancakes, syrup, milk, everything for breakfast. This house, the kid goes to school and eats breakfast. It's okay. This house, this parent talks to the child about real life situations. This house, the child gets an iPad. Every household will be ran differently. And in parallel, it's critical for you to understand you don't have a fucking say in the other house. But the best part about that is the other house has no say about your house. And I think for people that are listening that deal with high conflict personalities, that's the selling point. Yeah, I would love to share, and it doesn't do me dirty and it doesn't make me feel weird to share what's going on at my house, but I have to understand I sharing that with that high conflict person, it's only going to be used against me. And if you haven't picked up on the pay attention, it is being used against you. You just haven't picked up on the pattern of it yet. But also that high conflict parent can't come to my house and tell me what I'm doing wrong. They can't tell me that I should be doing this and I should be doing that. Now, if you're in a trauma bond, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a heads up. I'm not your therapist. Don't take this as medical advice. But when you first split up and you've been in a heavy trauma bond, you're going to do everything that parent wants you to do with that household. And how do I know that? That was me. I still ran my household, even though we were in completely different homes, how my ex wanted to. I ran everything through a dad filter at that point because I thought I had to do everything he was doing because that's what was better for the kids. So if he wasn't doing a pacifier, I wasn't. If he was doing cloth diapers, I wasn't. Those two things did not happen. Those are just like, I wish, but those did not happen. But I ran everything the way he did because I wanted my kids to think we were co-parenting. Fast forward, my knowledge now tells me that my kids would have been perfectly fine from the word jump, me doing my thing, him doing his thing, and them not being the exact same. Some things did overlap, but not all. But the big thing about parallel is you don't have to share what happens at your home unless it's in your parenting plan specifically listed. And I think this is where a lot of us think that, like, because I label myself as the just person. Sam was just. If I just do this, he'll be nice to me. If I just do this, he'll co-parent with me. If I just do this, he'll try harder. If I just do this, he'll ease up. If I just do this, he'll stop taking me to court. If I just do this, he won't file a motion. If I just do this, he'll get off my ass about it. None of that's true. He was going to be him for however long to this day he wants to be. And me trying to co-parent with someone that was treating me back a different way, why was I doing that? Because I thought that was the only way. The court system had only pushed on me that this is what you have to do, Sam. You have to do, you have to do, you have to co-parent. Otherwise, you're labeled as the problem. You have to do this. Otherwise, you're the problem. And I'm just here to tell you that's not the case. You don't have to do that. And so parallel is where it's at. Now, I want you again to be really cautious about where you drop that word around attorneys and around GALs and around evaluators. But you got to understand that's your saving grace. You have to be able to know that your house has your rules and they have their rules and the kids will adjust, or, because I already can hear you coming at me, or there's going to be a huge change of circumstance that's going to come to the rise and be seen by more than just me. And there's going to be a problem that everybody's going to notice that could tip the scales back towards me as being the primary parent. But I have to sit back and I have to let the difference happen. And I will say, as we're wrapping up, this is really hard as a parent to know that you could be sharing information or trying to get along or working with that other parent. You could. But when you're met with such hatred and hostility back, something so simple, and I know this will be relatable, and this is a true story. I called my ex one time to tell him that our oldest son had a loose tooth and he had lost it. And I said, you know, I'm calling with excitement. Like, this was a big tooth. This was like one of the first starter teeth of being lost. And I'm like, hey, you know, Walker lost a tooth. And I, you know, sent the picture of, you know, standing there toothless, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking this is a celebratory picture. I'm sharing what happened in my home. I'm keeping them included. You know, I was walking around the house like, hey, we should send a picture. I'm sure dad's going to be so excited you lost your tooth. Like, I created excitement around dad. I was the queen of that at the beginning. And I sent this picture. And you would think the comeback would be, in my mind, the expectation, which you should never put your expectations on your ex, was thank you. Awesome. Can't wait. Hope the tooth fairy comes. So cool. Did it bleed long? How is he? Can I call him? This is exciting. Any of those? Any of those? I'll tell you, no. Instead, what I got back was a paragraph about how shitty of a mom I was, that he already knew it was loose and that it was probably going to come out at my house, and how dare me rub it in his face that he lost it at my house and not his house. And I obviously haven't been paying attention because it could have been lost at any point in time this week. The audacity of me to rub it in his face. What? Like, nowhere in my brain was that the response. Nowhere. Nowhere. The audacity of me? Okay, here's the deal. Here's the other half of that coin. Had I not sent the picture and our son would have shown up with a missing tooth, I would have got my ass chewed for that. Anybody relate to that? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And I'm coming from a place of you're better off damned if you don't, because you're going to get in trouble either way, right? Beg for forgiveness versus permission is my motto when dealing with high conflict people. I said what I said and I don't apologize for it. That is a motto that you have to live by. I will ask for forgiveness versus permission every time from a high conflict person, because that's who they are. They took a picture of a child holding a tooth and turned it into how I was a shitty mom that I didn't know had been loose for weeks before that. It could have been lost at his house. And now I'm being vengeful that I'm sending him a picture to rub his nose in it. The fuck are you talking about? That's not how my brain works. So it was very hard for me to understand that this is how high conflict people work. And the quicker you can update yourself to parallel at what happens at my house stays at my house, and that's it, the better your co-parenting journey will end up being, because it won't be co-parenting. It'll be parallel and your house will be a lot more sane. I wish you luck in this, because this one's tough. This one is tough. All right, this is why an education matters. Before you sign anything, inside my masterclass, I break down what actually works in high conflict parenting plans. And if you want this executed correctly, our team is here to build this parenting plan for you so that you're not forced to cooperate, you're not forced to actually co-parent, and that you can start that parallel journey from today and jump right into doing your house, they do their house, and we're not co-mingling and we're not communicating and we're not being flexible with each other, because we're following a very detailed parenting plan.